Good morning. This is Community Speaks. I'm Brady Safranik, and joining me today with JoCo First is Dave Simonson. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. How are you, Brady?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right today. It's a beautiful, sunny day.
And it's Friday.
And it's Friday.
A beautiful, sunny Friday. And it's supposed to be a pretty nice weekend as well. If, you know, whatever people have planned, I know a lot of people go up to Sheridan this weekend. It's Wild Rodeo Week, and lots going on up there. Top of the hour here at 10 o'clock, they've got their parade. And we sent some people up there that'll be driving a vehicle and handing out popsicles and it's a nice day for it. The sun's out, and it's beautiful.
I'm not superstitious, but it is Friday the 13th as well.
It is also Friday the 13th, and you know, it's funny. Over on Kix on my morning show, I was reading some facts and things, or maybe not all of them are facts, superstitions and things about Friday the 13th, and how some people are very superstitious, like Franklin Delano Roosevelt would not travel on the 13th of any month. Didn't matter. He would not travel on the 13th.
That's interesting.
Yep. And they say that there's a superstition that if you start a trip on a Friday, not just Friday the 13th, but on a Friday, that you're more likely to have misfortune.
Well, okay, so vacation starts on Thursday then.
On Thursday now. I would imagine lots of people start their trips on Fridays. So those are a couple of things I didn't know that that some people believe out there. But yeah, it is Friday the 13th. You know, my most enjoyable thing to do on Friday the 13th was just sit back and watch the marathon of the Jason movies.
There you go.
You know, he's got the machete and the hockey mask. And yep. So if you ever see anyone walking around like that today, go in the other direction.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Dave, let's jump into it. We've got a business council meeting coming up here end of August, early September. What can you tell us about this?
Well, we had originally submitted and were awarded $1 million of a $2.8 million project to begin the development or at least the phase one development of the tech park. And our plan was to try to get the entire 2.8. We were awarded 1 million of it, and now we're going back for the remaining $1.8 million. The competition is tough. We found out this week at our board meeting when we were doing some strategic planning, the business council was assisting with that process, and they informed us that there was $22 million worth of applications that had come in and that were being vetted by business council staff as we speak. So the allocation for this round was around a little over 8 million. The good news is we're in a new fiscal year. They have over, I believe it's $32 or $35 million that was put towards this program by the legislature. And so they have enough money. The thing is that money is intended to last for 2 years. And so this being the first round and $22 million worth of requests, and $15 million of those requests are actually business committed projects. So there's an actual business in hand. The vetting process usually weeds out a few projects. Not always, but usually. So, you know, expectations are that may drop a little bit, but still, that's a lot of projects that we're going to be competing against.
And what are sort of expectations going in? What do you think your chances are of getting the $1.5 million?
We know that our project was really liked by the staff and the business council and the SLIB, the State Loan Investment Board, which is the five top elected officials. The problem last time was there wasn't funding available, and so we had to fight like crazy just to get the $1 million. We still feel indications are that everybody still likes the projects. The fact that they funded part of it means that I think we'll be looked at favorably. But we're still going to have to go down, and we're still going to have to do our due diligence and meet with everybody and do a little lobbying in advance.
Now, being that they've okayed the first million and now you're looking for about $1.5 million more, are they looking at what you've done since they approved that million as well?
They will look at that, and we'll have to put together a report of what has been accomplished. Things have been done. The environmental is done. There's some other work that's being done as we speak. And so, and also to our advantage is, you know, the last thing they want is $1 million investment going in and a project not being completed. So that bodes well for us as well. It's not a sure thing by any means, but it gives us a good leg to stand on when it comes to, I don't know, the arguing, but presenting our case to them.
And if they okay this, the rest of the money, what happens then? When do things get moving?
Well, the Nelson Engineering, Brent Bennett, is working on the project, coordinating the project for the city, because it is a city application. We're administering from the standpoint of reporting on the grant, so we're doing all the grant reports and those types of things from my office. But the city's, it is a city project, so we will be going to bid here before that board meeting, and so we will know going into it what the cost is going to be. That will be to our advantage, as long as it's not over the $1.8 million, which we don't expect that it will be. We expect that we'll be able to keep it below that cost. We're going to have some alternates in there and things of that nature, but that whole process will also help build our case. Once we have those bids in hand, the work that is being done right now, all of that will be to our advantage when it comes to presenting our case to the Business Council Board.
And then on the other side of that, if they said, no, we're not going to give you any more money, what happens then?
That is the million-dollar question. Because we're already spending some of those funds, it's grant dollars, we would want to move the project forward. So if the Business Council Board says no, which they did last time, and we still ended up with $1 million from the State Loan Investment Board, we would go to the SLIB, and we would, again, do some upfront lobbying or meetings, and then we would present our case to them with the hopes that they would approve the project, even though the Business Council Board did not, if they were not to do so.
Okay.
If that was a turn down, then our next option would be to come back again at a future round, which there would still be money available. You're thrown in with a whole nother set of grantees, but we wouldn't give up. It wouldn't make sense to give up on the project. And
worst comes to worst, have a bake sale.
A big bake sale.
Now, for anyone that might be listening that doesn't know what the Tech Park is, just kind of explain, you know, what this project is.
Sure. And right now, in the grant application, it is called Buffalo Technology Park. That was a name that was given to it just strictly for the grant application. It wasn't formally approved by city council or anything of that nature. I shouldn't say that. They approved the project, so in a way they did approve the name. But there is a potential also of the name being changed, and we're not sure what that will look like or anything, but that is a potential. The whole idea is to be able to have some lots that are available that are larger in size that we currently don't have that are build ready. Right now we have is greenfield. We have land, and land is, you know, I don't want to say a dime a dozen, but in the nation there's a lot of land, and to become more competitive, what we're trying to do is to develop those lots into build ready. And by build ready, what I mean is there would be fiber, electric, gas, water, sewer, all at the curb of the lots, so that anybody coming in, all they have to do is potentially purchase the lot that they would want and hook up to those utilities. We're working with Rocky Mountain Power, we're working with MDU, we're working with ACT and Spectrum, and the city, obviously, with the water and sewer to make all of that happen. The Rocky Mountain Power has indicated that they are going to more or less surround the technology park with power. So we'll have power on almost every side of the park, at least three of the four sides, and I believe the fourth side is already there. And so that will mean we'll have some redundancy. The loop will provide some redundancy. And the reason we're able to get that done is because they were already doing a project that would impact the city itself, and this was just an extension of that. MDU, we've had conversations there, we being primarily Nelson Engineering on our behalf, to supply, I believe it's a 2-inch high pressure main that would come into the park to provide gas to any user, end user there. Conversations have taken place with ACT, and they're putting plans together as we speak. So the infrastructure will come in no matter what. That's coming. It's the streets that and the conduit and all of that will house all of this infrastructure that we're trying to get with the $1.8 million, as well, you know, as other amenities within the park itself.
Now, is kind of the thought to have these build ready, that would be more enticing to possible businesses coming in?
Absolutely. Businesses today, you know, they want to move. When they decide they're going to do a project, that decision may not happen quickly, but once they decide, they're in full steam forward. They're wanting to move. They're wanting to get things done. And if they have to wait for electric or other things to be put in, that slows their project down. And that costs money. And so then you become less competitive. And they're looking for those types of sites where they can come in, they can begin building, know that everything is there for them to begin building, so that when that building is constructed, all they have to do is hook up and they're ready to go.
Excellent. Talking with Dave Simonson here with JoCo First about Tech Park and the Business Council meeting coming up here in a month or two. And I would imagine, Dave, the next time we have you on, you'll probably have had that meeting already, so we'll know whether or not you guys... Will you know at that meeting whether or not, or is that just where you pitch your idea?
Well, that's where we get the recommendation.
Okay.
It's not a formal approval, it's a recommendation. The formal approval would happen a month later at the SLIB meeting, and so that will all hinge. That's the final approval, is the SLIB meeting.
So by the end of the meeting, this business council meeting in late August or early September, you'll know whether or not you're being recommended.
Yes.
And then it'll be about another month before you know for sure whether or not they approve that.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. So we're very hopeful. We feel that it is a good project, and especially with everything that's happening in our region right now, the Weatherby project moving forward, and some other projects that are out there. So the best case scenario would be is that we'd have one of those projects come forward, and we could turn our project from a business community readiness project to a business committed project. But you know, that's to be determined here yet.
Certainly. Again, Dave Simonson with JoCo First. Dave, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
This is Community Speaks, and it's being brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street. Keep it tuned, KBBS.